This is the Ethanol Report. I caught up with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's annual meeting recently in Kansas City. We're going to talk a little bit about what the state of the ethanol industry is right now. Well, we've got a lame duck session coming up here, and the big concern, of course, is the VTAC. And where do you think that's going to go before the end of the year?
Well, I'm actually growing even more encouraged, because certainly taxes are on the table. And I think it's a question of how, not whether, the Bush tax cuts move forward. And certainly, I think there's strong support for extending the Bush tax cuts. But there's also strong support for dealing with some of the other tax policies that need to be extended. One of the unmistakable messages coming out of November 2nd was, it's about the economy. It's about jobs. And I don't think Congress, first thing out of the block after having heard that unmistakable message, wants to be risking more jobs, wants to be exporting another American industry, wants to be outsourcing the energy jobs that exist in our industry. So I think that there's an opportunity to extend the ethanol tax incentive, extend the Bush tax incentives, but also the biodiesel tax credit and other important tax incentives that need to be addressed before the end of this year.
When we're in the process of trying to continue the implementation of their RFS 2, and a big part of that is cellulosic ethanol. The Energy Information Administration recently once again lowered their forecast for cellulosic ethanol production. What can we do about that?
What we need to do is finally get the loan guarantee program at DOE and USDA up and running in a way that works for our industry. The problem with cellulosic ethanol has not been the technology is not ready. It's not that the infrastructure couldn't handle it. It is that the capital markets have dried up. And these companies that have technology ready to go, that could be producing ethanol from cellulose very quickly, can't get investors to take the risk. If we're going to be asking folks to invest in these new technologies, to develop a new infrastructure, to get those feedstocks to the plant, to continue to evolve the industry, that some things need to happen. I'm strongly supportive of a refundable investment tax credit, because ultimately you've got to do some innovative things in order to free up capital to grow this industry and to continue the evolution of the industry and allow cellulosic ethanol to move forward.
Now, we've talked about Congress. The face of Congress is changing in 2011, but the face of the bureaucrats in the various agencies, the Department of Energy and EPA in particular, not changing. And they a lot, in many ways, hold the fate of ethanol in their hands.
Well, it's very different, but it's an important part of everything that we do, because so much of policy right now is made by the regulators, those that are unelected, those that have been in these agencies perhaps a bit too long and gotten real comfortable with the status quo and don't like to be pushed to do new things. That's clearly the case at EPA, because, you know, what they've decided to do with E15 is extraordinarily tepid. 2007 and newer vehicles. Okay, it's a step in the right direction. Good, bravo. And we're going to try to make some lemonade out of those lemons and try to build the marketplace. But, you know, they need to move forward. They need to recognize that 2001 and newer needs to happen right now. I was disappointed that they actually took vehicles older than 2001 off the table in their announcement last month. That makes no sense whatsoever. There's not a shred of data that EPA has before them that suggests that there's a problem with an older vehicle that you don't have in a newer vehicle. In fact, the single most highly respected, world-renowned automotive engineering firm, Ricardo, told them as such. Said, we looked at all of these vehicles and did our own engineering assessment. There's no difference in the emissions controls. There's no difference in the plastics, the metals, the elastomers that are used. And if you're approving E15 for a 2001 vehicle, there's no reason not to approve it for an older vehicle.
Well, part of that rule, the decision was a warning label that they want to put on fuel pumps that dispense E15, and we're in a comment period right now for that, and I'm sure RFA is formulating comments on that. What do you think about their proposal for the warning label for E15?
Well, you said it right. It's a warning label. They seem to think it's just an informational label. Well, I'm sorry. It says warning at the top. It says ethanol at the bottom. It says something about what the blend level is, and it says something about what the year of the vehicle is. But it's bright orange. It is, in fact, a warning. And consumers are going to see ethanol, and they're going to see warning, and they're going to see this bright orange, and they're going to be not just confused, they're going to be scared. And they're not going to see E15 or 2007 and newer. And I think it'll have a chilling effect on all ethanol sales. It's a huge mistake. Yeah, we're going to be commenting with EPA. We're going to be working with the agency. And I hope people voice their concerns with EPA because they need to get out of the way. They need to stop erecting these barriers to ethanol use.
We just had the opponents of ethanol, those people especially who feed corn to livestock, file a lawsuit over this EPA decision. What do you think about that? Do you think that will have any impact on the decision?
Well, the legal decisions will be resolved. What I thought was interesting was that it was the food companies and the livestock folks, those that want cheap corn, rushing to the courts, getting there first, saying, no, you got to stop this program. These are not folks that are steeped in automotive engineering. These aren't people that really care much about emissions control systems or could tell the court anything about metals or elastomers or a fuel distribution system. These are folks who are interested in this issue for only one reason. They want cheap corn. They want to go back to $2 corn or less. I think that's a step backward for rural America. I don't think it makes sense for consumers across this country that also have a concern about skyrocketing gasoline prices. And if left to their own devices, we wouldn't have any ethanol in this country. And what would that do for food prices when food is delivered to the grocery store and to your plate driving on gasoline and diesel fuel? And we're the only thing today that's helping to keep those costs down. So it's very short-sighted. It doesn't make a great deal of sense. I don't think it's going to impress the court, and I think it was a mistake on their part.
Speaking of legal challenges, the ethanol industry has mounted a legal challenge against the state of California for their low-carbon fuel standard. What do you hope to accomplish with that?
Well, we hope to bring some sanity to that debate. In January of 2011, refiners in the state will have to begin using low-carbon fuels. That'd be great. They ought to be able to use ethanol, except that the way that the California Resources Board cooked the books, ethanol produced in the Midwest is penalized for all kinds of nonsense, and they inflated our carbon numbers so that refiners in the state can't use Midwestern ethanol. They can only use ethanol that might be produced in the state of California, and there's some, but very little, not enough to satisfy the whole market. They could use cellulosic ethanol, which would be great, but there's not enough produced to satisfy that market, or they could use Brazilian ethanol. I'm sorry, there's not enough Brazilian product, and quite frankly, their carbon score needs to be further evaluated because I think that that's really not as clean as they say it is. So we're trying to bring some sanity to that debate. We hope that California wakes up and maybe even before January make some changes to the program to allow Midwest ethanol, or there's a train wreck waiting to occur in California, and consumers aren't going to have fuel to drive their vehicles.
You're here every year at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting annual meeting doing these interviews with broadcasters. Why is that so important to you?
Well, I think farm broadcasters are doing a lot of hard work trying to make sure that Americans understand the important debates that are going on in D.C. I love this event. I think, you know, these are folks that are out there talking to Americans, talking with stakeholders all the time. They're not taking their news and reporting it just on, you know, whatever PR firm is sending them the talking points of the moment. So I love these folks, and I love being here.
Great. Well, very good. Well, thank you very much, Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association at NAFB Trade Talk. And that's the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.